Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, USDA Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has been at the G20 Agricultural Ministers meeting in Florence, Italy last week. Vilsack says it's an important trip for many reasons, one of which is to show the world that America is getting back into the world trade market.
We just finished, in essence, sort of the opening of this G20 meeting, and I think it was important for me personally to be here in order to send a strong message that the United States is re-engaging significantly in trade discussions and in trade activities on the international stage. Now, I think probably 25 to 30 ag ministers and commissioners across the globe, almost to a person, they are pleased that the U.S. is re-engaging.
Vilsack says the U.S. is doing the right thing and working together with other countries.
It's reassuring to me that the United States is on the right track as it deals with issues ranging from climate change to farm income. I think all of us have acknowledged that agriculture is facing a number of significant challenges because of climate, because of COVID. There was a real commitment and understanding of the need for us to act collaboratively and cooperatively on dealing with these issues, that it will in fact require us to transform the system of agriculture in our respective countries and globally with bold action that results ultimately in a more resilient system.
One topic of conversation at the G20 is the increasing role that biofuels can play in sustainable agriculture around the world.
I was pleased to see that there was an acknowledgement by many of the speakers of the significant role that renewable energy will play and needs to play as part of the rural infrastructure for a more sustainable agricultural system, a recognition that energy produced on farm and for farms can help reduce costs and also can increase potential income.
Vilsack says his trip to Italy should be important to U.S. farmers as well.
We're using this summit as a focal point for developing this coalition, which in turn will strengthen our ability to make us more competitive in the global marketplace, will strengthen our ability to take full advantage of market value that's now being attributed and attached to sustainably produced food, and that it will qualify eventually farmers for credits that may be out there with carbon markets.
Again, that's Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. The Interior Department last month declared the first ever Colorado River water shortage, resulting in further water allocation cuts for farmers and ranchers. Farm Bureau Associate Economist Danny Munch says a shortage is declared when Lake Mead at Hoover Dam falls below water elevation of 1,075 feet, defined as Tier 1.
As of last week, the elevation was 1,068 feet, or 35% of the total capacity of Lake Mead. An important distinction here, though, is that Arizona and Nevada were already in drought contingency plans, which is not an official shortage, but includes mandatory cuts.
Under the regulations, Arizona will lose 18% of its water allocation, and Nevada will lose about 7%.
And combined, those states generate over $6 billion in agricultural receipts, including $1.1 billion in cattle and calves, nearly $1 billion in dairy products, and $3.5 billion in crops. Arizona on its own produces half of the nation's lettuce, 20% of the nation's spinach, and a slew of other fruits and vegetables. And further cuts would really threaten the operations of thousands of farmers and ranchers across the region, especially as cuts deepen to other states like California.
Farmers in the Upper Basin are dealing with water cutbacks as well.
The Upper Basin spans Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, and a small northeast piece of Arizona. Lake Powell at Glen Canyon Dam has fortunately been able to remain above the minimum threshold limit of 3,525 feet, but that's still only 32% of its total capacity. And we know from our Farm Bureau survey that farmers and ranchers in the region are already dealing with reduced water deliveries, making pretty drastic operational changes to limit their water consumption.
You can read more on the Market Intel page at fb.org. Despite rain in many parts of the state, South Dakota's corn crop is still ranked the worst in the nation as of last week. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the worst-looking corn is in the middle of the country.
It's like a broken record on the three states we've been watching for the lowest condition all growing season. It's kind of a neck-and-neck race on who's going to end up with the highest percentage of the crop rated very poor to poor. This week, South Dakota in the lead at 44%, North Dakota 42%. Coming in a distant third is Minnesota, one quarter of the corn crop rated very poor to poor.
He says South Dakota soybeans aren't doing any better.
Leading the way for soybeans, rated very poor to poor, North Dakota 42%, just behind South Dakota 41%, and third place Minnesota coming in at 25%, very poor to poor.
USDA NASS estimates South Dakota's 2021 corn crop will produce 751 million bushels, up 3% from last year's production. The state's soybean production is forecast at 207 million bushels, down 7% from last year. Rippey says despite the poor conditions, South Dakota's corn crop made a big jump in maturity over the past week.
U.S. corn mature 37% on September 12th. Compare that to last week's 21%, so nearly a doubling of corn maturation in the last week. Five-year average pace for corn maturity on September 12th is 31%. A year ago, we were just a little bit quicker at 39% mature. We do have three states into double digits compared to their five-year average, ahead of normal: Illinois, Minnesota, and South Dakota.
But Rippey says the speedy maturity isn't likely to produce good yields.
We continue to see crop progress considerably ahead of the normal pace. 87% of the U.S. corn dented by September 12th. Five-year average is 81%. We're pretty much on par with what we saw in 2020. 88% of the crop dented by September 12th of 2020. Looking at the Midwest, we see five states where we are at least 10 percentage points ahead of the normal dented pace. And the two reasons for that: number one, drought affected areas in the upper Midwest maturing faster than normal, and looking at some of the earlier planted areas, that corn is also denting faster than the normal pace. The five states where we're at least 10 points ahead of the normal denting pace: Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, and the Dakotas.
There is one somewhat bright spot among South Dakota's crops, though. Sorghum production is forecast at 18.5 million bushels, up 63% from last year. And lastly, here on American Ag Today, the Department of Agriculture has provided additional time for livestock and poultry producers to apply for the Pandemic Livestock Indemnity Program, or PLIP. Producers who suffered losses during the pandemic due to insufficient access to processing may now apply for assistance for those losses and the cost of depopulation and disposal of the animals through October 12th, rather than the original deadline of September 17th. PLIP is part of USDA's Pandemic Assistance for Producers Initiative. Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau states, quote, "We want to ensure that all eligible producers have the opportunity to apply for this critical assistance," end quote. PLIP provides payments to producers for losses of livestock or poultry depopulated from March 1st of 2020 through December 26th of 2020 due to insufficient processing access as a result of the pandemic. Payments are based on 80% of the fair market value of the livestock and poultry, and for the cost of depopulation and disposal of the animal. Eligible livestock and poultry include swine, chickens, and turkeys. And this has been another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you and yours a great rest of your day.